Let's begin by reading from God's Word. If you've got a Bible with you or on your phone, I encourage you to open it up to, or you can't open up your phone, can you? What do you mean you can? Luke chapter 21. It's also going to be on the screen, so you can follow that way as well. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will come close on you, suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Amen. This morning is a special morning for me because I am joined by my good friend Steve. So could we give Steve a really warm welcome? He's signing for us. Thank you. I'm also really aware, as well as all of that, I'm really aware that, and I was just conscious actually as I came in here this morning, that we come with different things on our minds. We all come with baggage, with stuff, with worries, with fears, with anxiety, with stresses, whether that's work or home or the world. We've just been praying for the world. And my immediate thing is to think, do you know what? Let's leave that at the door and we'll come in and we'll focus on Jesus and we'll do the talk and that's great. And then we can pick it up when we go back out. Do you know what? Today, I don't want us to do that. I want you to, because Jesus says, come with all your burdens, with all your worries, with all your anxieties, come to me. That's what Jesus says. So this morning, I want to encourage you to come with all the stuff that's going on in your life. All the rubbish, all the horrible things as well as the good things. And as we open up God's word, as we read what Jesus might have been trying to say to us and the disciples in Luke 21, we do that in light of the here and now, what's going on in your life and in our lives right now. There are two key things I want to draw out of this passage for us this morning. The first one is the word urgency. I want us to recognize that there is an urgency about what Jesus is saying here. When he's speaking to the disciples and to us, there's an urgency about what's happening. Jesus, we're caught in a time where Jesus has died and resurrected and he's going to come again. And Jesus is calling us to be urgent. The second thing is, following on from that, is that we are not to be passive in God's world, but active. God doesn't call us to be passive observers of what's going on, but active in his world. So that sense of urgency and that call to action, they are the two things I would like us to really have on the forefront of our mind as we look at what God, it might be saying to us from Luke chapter 21. living in the light of expectation. And this expectation should shape how we live today, actively watching and praying, recognizing that Jesus is going to return. But what does that look like for our daily lives? In the here and now, in this present moment, what does that look like? I want to suggest a few different things from this passage. First of all, we need to understand the signs. Jesus says, look at the fig tree. Look at the fig tree. It sprouts leaves. There is something inevitable about what's going on here. There's something inevitable about the seasons. I'm kicking myself because I could have used a Marvel quote from the Avengers somewhere with Thanos, who was inevitable. There's an inevitability about Jesus' words. They're going to happen, just like the summer is going to happen. I like to grow tomatoes. I'm not a gardener. I'm pretty rubbish at it. But I can do tomatoes. They're quite simple and straightforward. And I wait for the little yellow flower to appear because I know what's coming next. There's an inevitability about it. Weirdly, this is a little bit sad, but I get quite excited about it when the little yellow flower pops up because I know I'm going to get some tomatoes. I mean, it happens every year. And I'm rubbish at gardening. They always appear. They're inevitable. We know it's coming. But you don't just sit around and wait for your tomatoes to just, you don't just like hope that these plants are suddenly going to spring and bear fruit. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's time and effort as that process is happening. There's time and effort in the process as we wait for the inevitability of Christ's return. I just want to put forward a bit of a challenging question. Well, it challenged me at least when I was thinking about it. Do we actually believe that? That Jesus is coming back again? Do we believe that? Because I think if we really believe that, if we really believe that in our hearts, that causes us to action. If there is an urgency, if there is an inevitability about the fact that Jesus is returning, then we're going to want to do something about it. And I know in reality, sometimes in my life, I get distracted. Sometimes in my life, things of the world stop me from perhaps doing what God wants me to do because I see the trappings of the world and I see the things going on around me. Jesus calls us to action, to do something, to respond. Just as we recognize the seasons in nature, we must also recognize the spiritual seasons in our lives. Are we growing in holiness? Are we staying alert to God's work around us? Are we spending time with God, listening to Him? What is God saying? What is happening in the world around me? Because to watch is an active thing, isn't it? You can't really just passively watch. You can't watch and then just let things go by. Well, maybe sometimes we do, but we shouldn't be, should we? As we watch what's going on in the world today, it should cause us to want to respond. There are wars that continue in our world. Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, the Sudanese civil war, the Myanmar civil war. As we hear about these things, these conflicts in our world, these places where there's a lack of peace, it should cause us to want to respond. How are we responding, I wonder? According to Open Doors, 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted worldwide. 1 in 7. That's actually a lot of Christians. 3,100 Christians were murdered for their faith last year in Nigeria. Just in Nigeria. 3,100. And yet, the world don't really know much about that. It's sort of hidden. Nearly 5,000 were imprisoned for their faith in Nigeria just because they were Christians. What are we doing? How are we responding? Are we asking the question, God, what are you doing here? What's going on? How can I be active in my watching of what's going on in the world? Let us stand up and be proactive in what we do. Let us pray. We have been, which is brilliant. Let us continue to pray, to support, to inform, to advocate for people who are in need. We need to wake up and be active as individuals and as a church and respond to the challenges in the here and now. That's why I say let's not leave things at the door, all our stresses and all our struggles, because that's what the reality is, isn't it? That's the here and now for you and for me. What's going on for us? And let us respond. Secondly, I just want to pick up on the certainty of Jesus' words. He says, truly I tell you. And when Jesus says, truly I tell you, what it's in the original Greek, he would have repeated that three times because he's trying to make a point. This is really, really important what Jesus is saying here. This generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Jesus assures us that his words are reliable. The world will pass away, but his promises remain true and eternal. There's a little symbol that they often use in psychology, I believe. It's the three C's of trust. Now, I'm not necessarily trying to convince you that we need to trust Jesus, because hopefully, and I'm sure many of us, most of us do already, but I just want to use this as a bit of an illustration. We talk about character, connection, and competence. Competence is the ability to do something well or effectively. Now, I think when we consider Jesus and his mission, what God had called him to, Jesus carried out perfectly, exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He was obedient every step of the way, even to death on a cross. Jesus was competent. Character, a person of good character, exhibits positive moral and ethical qualities such as honesty, integrity, responsibility, and empathy, which are demonstrated through consistent actions, thoughts, and feelings. Jesus, through his life, remained consistent, faithful, and honest in every situation, in all his dealings with people. And connection, or care. Jesus' life was built on connecting with others, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, loving and caring for people wherever he went. We can trust Jesus. We can trust his words. We can trust what he said. In a world full of uncertainty, we have a rock on which we can stand. And I think that's great for us, but it's also great for everyone else as well, because so many things are uncertain. So many of those challenges that you bring with you this morning, those worries and those fears, are so shaky. And they can knock us off guard, but we have a rock that we can stand on. We have a Savior who we can hold fast to, because his words are never changing. And his return is not a matter of if, but when. And we live in light of that certainty. And so then Jesus calls us to watch and pray. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Be watchful and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Be watchful and pray. Watch out for distractions. Jesus warns us not to be overwhelmed by the distractions of life, whether it's excessive pleasure seeking or all the anxieties that we face. Now, I just want to throw in here right now and let you know, I'm quite an anxious person. I struggle with anxiety, and it's a tough one because it's, I don't know if you've heard this before, but if you're feeling anxious, some people might say, well, just don't do it. You can't just not do it, anxiety. When it comes upon you, it can be overwhelming. It can take over, and you can't just stop. But what Jesus is saying here is not so much, in this passage, not so much don't get anxious, but be careful not to lose sight of our goal. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He is our reward. He is our conqueror. He is our hope. When we take care and keep our focus on him, we won't unravel into a world of distraction. And I think my experience has been that too. But when my eyes are focused on Jesus, when I understand what God has called me to, that helps with the challenge of the anxieties around me that I'm facing day to day. It helps with the distractions of the world that are around me, all those things that try and pull my attention, that try and drag me into different directions. I can focus on Jesus because he's coming back. And I need to be ready for that. My anxieties, my burdens are lifted when I turn my gaze towards Jesus. Jesus calls us to pray so that we can stand firm. Not for escape, but for strength to face what is ahead. Prayer connects us to God's power and keeps our hearts attuned to his purposes. So the question I want to ask now is, are we engaging in intentional prayer? Are we making the most of our opportunities to spend time with Jesus, to keep our eyes fixed on him? To ask the question, God, what are you doing here? What's going on? And what can I do? How can I help? Or are we letting life's distractions weigh us down? And in the closing verses of this passage, we see Jesus' example. We see how Jesus then responds in verse 37 and 38. He spent his days teaching in the temple and his nights praying on the Mount of Olives. I'm always blown away by the fact that Jesus prioritized time with the Father. And if Jesus needs to spend all that time in prayer, how much more do we need it? How much more do we need to stay connected to Jesus, to the Father? Jesus, the Son of God, understood the importance of both teaching and prayer. He didn't retreat from the world, but he stayed engaged with it whilst focusing on God. I don't know if you remember the late Jade Goody. She one year decided that she was going to run the London Marathon. Now, I've run the London Marathon. I take pride in the fact that I'm a runner. I love running. And Jade Goody decided this year that she would run the London Marathon. In an interview literally before the start line, she said that she'd done a few training sessions. She'd run a few times. And she also confessed that she wasn't quite sure how far a mile was, recognising that she was going to have to go through 26 of them. It'll be no surprise to know that she made it to the 24th. Actually, it's a surprise that she made it to the 21st mile and then collapsed. She didn't get any further than the 21st mile of her marathon because she hadn't trained. She hadn't put in the effort. She didn't even know how far it was. She didn't even acknowledge that this was going to be a huge undertaking. Now, as I say, I love running and I've run a marathon, but there is no way that I could run a marathon right now. I've not done the training. I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. I'm not in a place where I can just step out onto a start line and run 26 miles. I need to work hard at that. It takes discipline. It takes effort. It takes continual engagement. It takes months and months. The kind of effort that God wants us to put in is going to take a lifetime. God calls us to be spiritually fit, to be ready at all times for Him, for His return. We need to be committed to prayer, committed to God's word. We need to recognize the example that Jesus set, be willing to walk in His ways. It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? Or overwhelmed by life's demands. But we must make our priority. We must stay grounded in His word. Jesus calls us to watch and pray, not as passive observers, but as active participants in His kingdom. In a world filled with distractions, we must stay alert and anchored to His word, praying for the strength to stand firm when He returns. The certainty of Christ's return should shape our lives today, making us more vigilant, more prayerful, and more committed to living for His glory. I've put up a few different ways in which we can, what we can do, how we can be active in the world today. And what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to give us a minute or so of just quiet, just reflecting and giving us an opportunity to focus on what God might be calling us to do. One thing we can do is we can show that awareness of what's going on around us. We can be more aware of what's happening in Welwyn Garden City or in the UK or in the world. It might be that we need to hold firm to Jesus' words. We need to draw closer to Him. We may be aware of the distractions right now that are keeping us away from focusing on Jesus. Some of those distractions that we need to let go of. It may be that we need to make prayer a priority in our lives. Or we may need to ground ourselves more in God's word. There's a lot there. What I want to do is, as I say, I want to give a bit of time, a bit of quiet now, for maybe to pick one or two of those things out. Because I recognize that we can't do this in our own strength. It's an ongoing, it's a lifelong challenge of being spiritually fit. And so maybe pick out one of those things. Ask for God to give you the strength to carry it out. And then after a time of quiet, I'll close in prayer. Father God, those fears, burdens, stresses that we've brought with us this morning, Lord, we lay them at your feet. Lord, you've called us to live in the present, to live in the here and now. And that can be tough. That can be challenging. There are so many distractions, so many anxieties, so many things that can get in the way of doing what you want for us. Thank you that you've given us clear guidance through your word and through your Son. Help us to be vigilant, to watch for your signs, to be faithful in prayer. Guard our hearts from the distractions of the world and keep our eyes fixed on you. Strengthen us as we stand firm in our faith, as we eagerly await your return. In Jesus' name, amen.